Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Shrunker 99.94. My name is Mark Charlie from Early End, and I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Varsi Devon from the Papere. Before we start, just a little bit of housekeeping. This show is taking a slight hiatus for a certain amount of time. We're not entirely sure how long yet. Of course, if you want to keep in touch with all our work and all the content that we make, you can catch everything Estelle does on thepapere.com and follow her on her Twitter page as well, at Estelle_Varsi1, as in the number one. And you can, first, you can subscribe to Murley End, and you can follow Murley End at Murley Pod. Oh, and you can follow me as well at Mark Machado. And keep up with everything I'm doing. Hopefully we will find the way very quickly to get me and Estelle talking again and reviewing the New Zealand series, because that's what we came to talk to you about today, because we do have the squad for Sri Lanka's tour of New Zealand, which starts next week. Estelle, firstly, how are you doing? And secondly, are you excited about this upcoming series?
Yeah, I mean, what's not to be excited about, right? Sri Lanka still in the running to make that World Test Championship final. Who would have thought, when the competition came into place, that there would, in just its second kind of iteration, that Sri Lanka would be at this stage, still in with a chance, a slim chance, but still a chance to make it through to the final in the UK.
I think we should consider ourselves semi-finalists at best. every few days at the moment, I get an email from, I can't remember if it's the MCC or the Oval or whoever, somebody sends me an email telling me about tickets to the World Test Championship, because obviously the final's at in London. And every few days, one of the test captains drops off. So at the moment, there's only three in the graphic. That's Pat Cummings, Rohit Sharma, and Dimuth Kirunaratne. And it makes me excited. And I think maybe I should buy a ticket. But I think, no, if I go and buy a ticket, I'm tempting fate. Because if we are to qualify for the finals, I did the maths. We all know my maths is terrible. That's why.
Yes.
throughout this series, if you're watching or listening, what you won't know is I've kept Estelle on the line waiting for me for 15, 20, half an hour all the time because I can't work out timings. But I've tried to do the maths of the World Test Championship, and I think what needs to happen is India need to beat Australia in their two tests. And Sri Lanka need to win the series outright, whitewash, win both tests. And that would give us enough of a difference in percentiles over all the test matches that we played over the last 2 years that we'd make the final. Is that right, Estelle?
Yeah, I think we can.
Oh, boy.
Whatever happens in the India series, no matter what happens, I think for things to go our way, we have to win the two tests. The way the India-Australia series is going, you'd expect them not to drop one game, but who knows, right, with Australia. That I think that's what Sri Lanka should be focusing on, because I'm just looking at the numbers. 1983 to 2018, Sri Lanka played New Zealand in New Zealand in 19 matches and won just two. So they're going to have to match that. How many years is that? Seven. I'm not going to add this up. All those years record in one series. So it's not going to be easy. But on the flip side of things, New Zealand are getting a bit of a hammering from England, aren't they? So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, right. So I went to bed yesterday and England were 23 for three. And then I woke up and England hadn't lost any wickets. I'm putting a heck of a lot more runs. Mm-hmm. So who knows what could happen? I mean, let's be honest, though. you read out the stats there, Estelle, and this for Sri Lanka going to New Zealand and winning these two matches to get to that World Test Championship. This is our Everest, isn't it? This is it's a huge challenge. We haven't played Test cricket for the last 6 months. We know the boys have been out practicing in Neuralia on a pitch that we think will kind of be quite similar to conditions in, I think, Dunedin. We know that these boys have the talent. We know that they're going to give it everything they've got. We just need that little bit of luck that sometimes you need. And 10 days of very good cricket. And if the cricketing gods are looking upon us favourably, then I might get to see them at the Oval later this year, which would be absolutely incredible, isn't it? And also, what I will say is I think it'd be one in the eye for the way kind of Test cricket is going at the moment because of, you know, me and you consistently have talked about how frustrating it is for red ball cricketers in Sri Lanka, where they've got a lot of talent, a lot of them got a lot of experience, but there's just not enough tests. They're not playing enough Test cricket. So to be able to kind of game the system to get to the final would be absolutely incredible. Should we take a quick break there? And when I come back, should we talk about the squad? Because there's a couple new additions that are quite exciting.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI, we've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
Welcome back to Sri Lanka 99.94. As I mentioned earlier, this could be one of our last episodes, or we are definitely taking a short break afterwards. Please do follow us on social media. Estelle on Twitter at Estelle_Vasudev1 as the number one. You can follow me at Mark Machado as well. We're always talking about Sri Lankan cricket. Occasionally, Estelle tweets about netball, and even less frequently, though I think it might be happening more frequently the coming days. You might tweet about One Republic as well. The band, that's not any sort of political thing. Or maybe it is, I don't know. Let's talk about this squad going out to New Zealand. There's two players you haven't played for SL before. Nishan Madushka, who's the batter, who's been scoring lots and lots of runs, and Milan Ratnaika, who's a fast bowler as well. What can you tell us about those two players and what can we expect from them?
Yeah, Madushka, we've been talking about for a long time. He's had, like, I think one of the purplest patches in domestic cricket that you can imagine, right? One triple hundred, two double hundreds, 300, something like that. Then against the Lions, he got a double hundred and a 150, if I'm not mistaken. So he's been in this like purple patch. Basically, he's made himself impossible to ignore. Despite the fact that, like, if you really look at the Sri Lankan Test side, it's tough to kind of find a spot that is open in that batting lineup because they have done relatively well. I mean, they have to have done well if they are still in contention for that final. So it's a bit tough to find a spot there in the batting order, but he's made so much of runs that he's kind of, you can't ignore him anymore. And I think the key is against the Lions in the first game, he didn't keep. So a lot of people were talking about, you know, if there is a chance, it's likely that Niroshan Dikwala might be the kind of the person who makes way. But he didn't keep in that first game. And then there were questions again as to, you know, what is Sri Lanka cricket? What do they want from him? Because he does bat at the top of the order as well, despite, you know, being a wicketkeeper batter. And then in the second game, I think they got the message and he was keeping. So it'll be interesting to see whether he does make it into the lineup because I know you and I spoke about an interview Mahela Jayawardena had done for the Sunday Times. And I think in that he mentions Madushka, the fact that he needs to be picked at a time like this, when his confidence is at a high, and he's, when he's got runs under his belt and he is in that kind of mindset. So I'd be really interested to see whether he does make the playing 11, and if so, where he comes in. If he comes in as wicketkeeper batter, where is he going to bat? Do they, I mean, because for the last couple of years, the management has been kind of this stance consistently that Dick Weller is the best wicketkeeper in Sri Lanka, and therefore they're not looking beyond him. But, you know, you spoke about kind of the evolution of Test cricket, right? And looking at the way England is playing and some of the other teams kind of, I think we'll be trying to match them in the next couple of years. You wonder if, as a wicketkeeper, just pure wicketkeeping skills is going to be enough anymore. Of course, this is all like, you know, it's guesswork, right? I don't know whether Madhushka will play or not. But yeah, that'll be really interesting to see. Milan Ratnayake, I think, did well against the Lions as well. I don't know whether he'll get a shot, because Sri Lanka do have a pretty strong pace bowling contingent traveling to New Zealand. But yeah, we'd have to wait and see.
I'm quite excited about Madhushka. My only worry is I think quite frequently over the years, you've seen batters come in and really good form domestically, come into the national setup, make their debuts about as far away from home on pitches that they're not used to, when they're already slightly nervous. And that's when so often in Sri Lankan cricket, we've seen players come unstuck. And I'm not quite sure why it is. And I know, you know, people who know a lot more about cricket and a lot more intelligent than me have written a lot about how, you know, if you start your international career badly, then it can often, it never really works out. Of course, there are exceptions. We can, you know, can all remember Marvin Attapattu getting, was it 5 ducks in a row at the beginning of his Test career before he went on to be absolutely magnificent. And obviously, I don't wish a duck upon any Sri Lankan batsman, just the Kiwis. But, you know, what I want to kind of, you know, reinstate is that I think if it doesn't go as well for him right at the beginning, we should probably stick with him for a little bit. Ireland are coming over in April to Sri Lanka. That's a great opportunity for him to play, a test at home against a bowling attack that won't be overly used to bowling in Sri Lankan conditions, right? So I would like to, you know, regardless of what happens, and obviously I hope he goes and scores triple centuries out there. That'd be incredible. But I hope we stick with him for a little while. It's also, you know, I think his career is, well, what we're seeing recently with the way they've been picking sides, and I know there's a lot of, we've talked excessively in the last few weeks about selectors, is I do think we are tending to pick players more, or players are ending up in the side more on form opposed to reputation, or what people see with the eye, which, you know, when you speak to actual cricketers, that's what they want to see, right?
That's great, to know that
if they are scoring runs, that they will get into the side. So that is quite important as well. And with the seam attack, as you say, there's a lot of established players in there. Though, I can't remember the last time that we were reliant on a test side, on seamers in the test team to get wickets as much as we will be in kind of Kiwi conditions, right? Which also leads us to a conversation on who the spinners might be, because we know that Prabhat Jayasurya kind of burst onto the international scene last year and took loads of wickets against Australia and Pakistan. But yeah, will they play him in New Zealand, or will they go for another option, which is Mendes, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, because Ramesh Mendes obviously has the batting aspect to his game that Prabhat doesn't. And in the past, we've seen a lot of Sri Lankan selections tend to favour the batter who does kind of, or the bowler who does kind of show a bit of confidence in the other skill as well, or the other way around for someone like DDS. We've seen that over the last years. So it'll be interesting to see who they pick. But I do think that if Dhananjay De Silva is in the playing 11, then they might opt for the left-arm spinner. But that's, I mean, again, it's guesswork, right? We don't know what will happen. Be tough on Prabhat Jayasuriya if he does get dropped, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And also the fact he didn't play any of those games against the English Lions as well. I was assuming that they'd just let him consume all those wickets. But I suppose they're not real test wickets, are they? So maybe it just wasn't worth it. Maybe they wanted him to play other bits of cricket. Who knows? We should also mention there's no Patton Dasunka. So I thought that was because he was injured, right? But then Rex Clementine, who is in and around the Sri Lanka team a lot more than I am, tweeted that he didn't make the squad and there was no mention of injury. Do you have any update on this? Is he injured or?
Yeah, so basically the issue is the injury. His back injury is obviously kind of a recurring one. And I mean, just looking at some of the players who've had injuries like that, like AB de Villiers, I mean, it's ominous, right? It's not, I don't know if it's something that's going to be cured or is going to go away. But what I also heard is that it's about managing his workload because of the injury. So he could very well have gone and played the games, but they want to keep him fit, especially with the ODI World Cup coming and qualifiers, Sri Lanka most likely having to play the qualifiers. So that is the word I've got from kind of a source close to him. But it's such a pity when you think about it, because Test cricket, to me, for him, is his best format. And this is not to do with strike rates. I know a lot of people have been critical of him in limited overs cricket with his strike rate, sometimes rightly so. But just watching him in Test cricket, he looks like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. He looks like
a
player
like a
made for
Rolls Royce.
The... Yeah. I haven't seen one in real life, Mark. I don't know.
Oh, they look like Patton Dasunka.
Okay, now I have a
reference. They look like Patton Dasunka batting. That's what they look like. They look
it's
like
just, I think some players, like when you watch them, I remember when Kusal Mendis debuted as well, right? It's just, he didn't make a lot of runs, but you can, there's something about him that he just looks like a player made for that format, right? So, I mean, with the limited number of tests that Sri Lanka are getting, it's hard to see a player like Nisanka play a lot of test cricket anyway. So with the injury, I mean, I don't know. Sri Lanka cricket will be doing, I think, their maximum to manage him so that he can have a long career in limited overs cricket.
Shall we take another quick break? When we come back, let's talk about the ODIs because there's a lot going on with that squad that we don't know yet. We haven't seen it officially, but we know someone's making a return.
I'm Jared Kimber and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, a look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
Welcome back to Sri Lanka 99.94. Thank you for listening or following or subscribing. You can follow us on Twitter at SL9994DM. We are taking a short break. We don't know what's going to happen or when we will return yet, but we will, you know, we will provide something, you know, me and Estelle working content, we'll provide some Sri Lanka content for you somehow. The best person to follow for Sri Lanka content in the whole world is Estelle. So follow her on Twitter at Estelle_Vazu1, as in the number one. If you want to know what I've eaten, then you can follow me on Twitter because I quite frequently post pictures of my meals as well at Mark Machado. And yeah, we can always continue the conversation over there. And do leave us your comments, whatever you want to, anything we say, because I'll definitely be checking those in the next few days as well. Estelle, we're playing two test matches. We've talked about the squad. We talked about if we win both of them, we go to the World Test Championship. We talked about the fact that we almost never win in New Zealand, so we shouldn't book our tickets to London just yet. But afterwards is the ODIs, and they're they're playing some T20s as well out there.
Yep.
The ODIs are incredibly important because we're trying to avoid going into the qualifiers. So we need to win all those as well. So the ODI squad, we don't know it officially yet, but it's highly suspected. And it hasn't been confirmed yet that Angelo Matthews will be in the squad.
Well, it's more or less confirmed by the fact, like I mentioned, both Mahela Jayawardena and Pramodya Vikramasinghe did a couple of interviews in the last week, I think. Mahela, as I mentioned, was on Sunday Times. So if you get the chance, you can check it out. Pramodya's interview was by a creator called Krik Vidu on his YouTube channel, and it's in Sinhalese. So if you do understand Sinhalese, go and watch it. It's an interesting one. I think he clears up a lot of doubts or questions that we have. Back to Angelo Matthews. I think what Pramodya said was, and this was mentioned by Mahela as well, that the senior players were never, you know, cast out completely from contention. That it's always been a case of, yes, youth first, but if there are opportunities that they will bring in senior players. And I think with Matthews having played two of the one-dayers against England Lions, it's more or less confirmed that he'll come into the squad. Whether he makes it into the team and where he makes it into the team, we don't know. But you'd have to think that if he makes the squad, he makes the team, right? One interesting thing I want to mention actually from that interview that Pramodya took Vidu is that he said that when they took this youth first approach, obviously the main three names that were kind of left out were Angelo Matthews, Dinesh Chandimal, Dimuth Karunaratne, right, from limited overs cricket. And he said that if they were to make it back, they would have to play exceptionally well to come into the side, because that would be the only way where it would be reasonable to pick them. Because if they were playing at the same level as some of the youngsters, then it makes more sense to kind of invest on a younger player and go forward that way.
Yeah.
So obviously they've seen something that Matthews is doing that is which has impressed them. Also, he mentioned something about fitness, about, you know, Angelo Matthews had spoken to Pramodya, I think in Gaul, maybe last year. And Pramodya had told him, look, you need to get your fitness up. You're running between the wickets. Those are the kind of things they need to work on. So maybe Matthews has, you know, worked on those things and he's ready to go. I'm skeptical, but, you know, hoping for the best. Because like you said, the New Zealand games are going to be really, really important. And someone of his caliber, if he can, he's produced some incredible knocks, right? And incredible spells in limited overs cricket in the past. So if he can reproduce some of that magic, then it'll be worth it for Sri Lanka.
So I think the one, I can see lots of different, of great reasons to have you in, right? As you say, he is an incredible cricketer. He's the one cricketer where I think there's, The big question mark would be, you know, if he didn't have as many injuries as he did, you know, if his hamstrings weren't as, you know, didn't fail him as much as they have done, what would his bowling be like right now? You know, he's been through the mill, as it were, a bit with his cricketing career, and his talent is incredible. Personally, I think the main reason why you've got to pick someone like him if he's available for this tour is because he's done it on these conditions before. And actually, there's a lot of blessings about having a young squad, but how many of them have gone to New Zealand and scored big runs? Like, I don't have the stats on hand. I don't know if he's gone and got centuries over there, but he's one of the few Sri Lankan players who's played a lot of cricket in almost every condition around the world now. So I think, you know, that experience, you just can't discount from him. I mean, it's great that Mahela and Pramodya are kind of come out and said these positive things about him being in the squad. But I do also feel, it does feel like there is war in factions in and around Sri Lankan cricket. And one of the factions has kind of won their won their cause by getting Angelo back in. And I do worry about what impact that's going to have on the rest of the squad, on the coaching setup, on the whole, you know, the synergy of the whole thing together. And I'm really hoping that it doesn't, you know, I'll be honest, as though Angelo Matthews is one of my favourite cricketers who's ever played for Sri Lanka. I absolutely adore him and I love watching him. And I can only assume and I hope he's a really good guy and that bringing him back to the squad doesn't cause any issues at all, and he's able to add his experience to that core group that's been there for about, what, 18 months or so now. And that it works out all the better for Sri Lanka. Moving on from him, there's two other players who might be returning. That's Chimera and Kusal Pereira. Do you have any inside knowledge on what their statuses might be? Because I've heard that I heard that they were both returning for the test squad. That's obviously not happened. And then I've heard that they're both returning for the ODIs for the white ball squad. I've also heard that Chimera will return for both bits of white ball cricket and Kusal will only return for the T20. But have you got any insight?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, first of all, I don't think Chimera will be playing a lot of test cricket, you know, coming up in the next couple of years. I think it'll be similar to Pathum Issanka's situation, where they try to manage him as much as possible and get him to play for as long as he can in limited overs cricket. On their returns, as far as I know, Kusal Pereira has just returned to domestic cricket. So he's played one game in the National Super League so far. So I don't know. I think it might depend a lot on, you know, how he goes there, whether he's able, you know, how long has it been since he's been out, right? It can't be easy to just come back in. And to be completely honest with you, his career wasn't really, you know, at a height when he did get injured either. It's almost as if you're always hopeful that he can produce something special that he did produce earlier on in his career, because you didn't see that many great performances from him later on. I think Chimera will be the more important cog for Sri Lanka because he provides such a huge kind of he's such a presence, right, with the new ball in limited overs cricket and also bowling in the death. So I think he will be back at least for the T20s, but Sri Lanka will want to test him out in those ODIs because, like I said, the World Cup's coming up. You've got the most likely the qualifiers also coming up. So they're going to need as many, you know, ace players available as possible.
Estelle, shall we leave it there? Normally I'd ask you to give your predictions, but I kind of figured out this, you know, we're taking a short break from 99.94. Our predictions are pointless because what we both want is a 2-0 win in the test matches and a 3-0 win in the ODIs, because that's what Sri Lanka need to get to the World Test Championship and the World Cup in those formats. So I don't want to predict any. I don't want you to.
And aren't our predictions always way off? My ones are.
Yeah, anyway. Massively.
So yeah. It doesn't matter either way.
if this, you know, if you don't hear from us for a while, know this, that I've absolutely loved doing this show. It's been an absolute pleasure to do it with Estelle and all the production team, and work with everyone else at 99.94. I don't know how you felt about it, Estelle.
Yeah, I mean, the support we got was incredible, right? I've had so many people messaging and, you know, saying, and when we don't have something up, you've got questions, you know, why haven't you spoken about this guy or whatever? So that support has been amazing. We don't have that many shows like this in Sri Lanka. So I think Sri Lankan fans appreciated it a lot. Hopefully, like they say at funerals, this isn't a goodbye, but I'll see you later.
I always like to think Sri Lankan I don't know. Maybe it's just a bit of Sri Lanka that my family are from, but they love death. So, you know, having a faux funeral is the way forward. As I say, though, me and Nesta both create content. We both are, you know, first and foremost, beyond being content makers, beyond being journalists, beyond anything, we are fans of Sri Lanka cricket. So wherever I am in the world, know that I am first and foremost thinking about what the boys are up to and the girls are up to, and why haven't we won the last World Cup and how are we going to win the next one? And I think, Estelle, we should probably just leave it there.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for listening. We've had a blast. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.